I want to remind us this morning that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow that is cast by turning. Every good gift comes from God. And the question is, what does He want us to do with those gifts? Leadership Magazine told about four young men who rented a house together. They were all in Bible college. And one Saturday morning, there was a knock at their door, and one of them answered, and it was an older man. His clothes were not in good shape. His eyes looked marbleized. His face was covered with short white stubble. And he had in his hand a basket of really unappealing fruit, but he was trying to sell some fruit in order to have some money to buy things for his needs. Well, the young man felt sorry for him and bought some of the fruit, and he went on his way. Well, the next Saturday morning, there was a knock at the door. It was the same man selling some more unappealing vegetables. But as this continued to happen, they began inviting him in and visiting with him. And they discovered that this man loved God, and he loved to sing Christian hymns. And so it became a ritual. Every Saturday morning, they would invite him in, and they began singing praises to God together and just enjoying their time. The young men learned during the course of this time that he lived just a few houses down in a very old, dilapidated house, and he would sell this fruit, as I said, to try to make some money to pay for his needs. The young men began to look for ways to help him out, and they were able to find some ways. But one Saturday morning, while they were singing hymns together, the man interrupted and said, "I want you to know God is good. God is good." And they agreed, "Yes, He is. God is so good." And the man said, "Well, you want to know why God is so good?" And they said, "Well, tell us." He said, "Because yesterday when I got up and opened my door, there were boxes full of clothes and shoes and coats and gloves. You see, God is so good." And the boys looked at each other and just smiled and said, "Yes, God is good." But the man continued, "You really want to know why God is so good?" He said, "Because I found a family who could use those things, and I gave them all away." How could someone in poverty be so generous in helping other people? I want us to consider some Christians in Macedonia, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you'll open your Bibles there, and consider what Paul would call the grace of giving, the grace of giving. Here we'll find some Christians who were in poverty, but yet they were so giving. Consider the poor Macedonians, the situation in which they found themselves. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 2 says, "In a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." Notice some of those phrases. In a great trial of affliction. History records for us that Macedonia was a Roman province at the time that Paul wrote the book of 2 Corinthians. And this area was struggling, having endured three civil wars. And so the whole land was struggling financially because of these wars that had taken place. In fact, they were so poverty-stricken that Tiberius Caesar lowered their taxes for a period of time. Added to that, these Christians that lived in Macedonia were also struggling financially because they were being persecuted. They were enduring intense persecutions because they chose to follow Christ. So in already poverty-like conditions, they were struggling even more. Now, as we read through the book of Acts and even throughout the New Testament, we learn some more about Christians that lived in Macedonia. There was the church in Thessalonica, an exemplary church. Paul says of these Christians in Thessalonica, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we don't need to say anything. They were known for their faith, a very strong church. The Bereans, we see in Acts chapter 17 that when Paul was on one of his missionary journeys, he came to Berea. He had left enduring persecution in Thessalonica. Now he's come to Berea and he found a group of people that searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things that Paul was saying was true. And many of them believed and became Christians. There was also Philippi, a great church that supported Paul in his work of evangelism. And you'll recognize, and many of you love, the book of Philippians, just as I do. These were great congregations. And Paul is speaking of the churches in Macedonia, these Christians, who despite this great trial of affliction and their deep poverty, were so giving. They were so generous in helping suffering saints back in Judea. There are two words in the Greek language for poor. And one would describe a day laborer who would go out and work for the day and be paid for the day so that he could buy the needs for that day. So that's a day-by-day existence. That was one word for poor. But another word was to describe a beggar, someone who was totally dependent upon the generosity of others. And that's the word that's used here to describe the poverty of these Christians in Macedonia. It wasn't that they had to go out and work that day for their daily needs. It was they were really, really struggling. They were even dependent upon other people. But yet they were so generous. The Macedonians refused to allow persecution, pain, or poverty to rob them of the joy of abounding in what Paul says and describes as this grace also. So yes, they were poor, but they were generous. And the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 is that Paul was going through Macedonia and Achaia, and preaching the gospel, of course, but also telling these Christians about the needs of suffering saints back in Judea and Jerusalem. They were undergoing a very difficult time and they needed help. And so he's giving them instructions as to how to contribute toward this effort, which they did so readily. In fact, after Christians in Macedonia and Achaia had contributed toward this effort, Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. Notice what he says. But now I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And that word poor is that same word that described the poverty of these Christians in Macedonia. They were to the point of begging. But the Christians in Macedonia understood the need and they responded to it. And that's why Paul is holding them up as an example to these Christians at Corinth and to us today. But notice in your Bibles what it says, how Paul describes these Christians at Macedonia. Verse 2. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. We already underscored their great affliction and their deep poverty, but I want you to notice something else that he mentions, and that is the abundance of their joy. That's not very good arithmetic. To add deep poverty plus deep affliction and deep joy, and then you get liberality. But that's exactly what was going on among these Christians. Yes, they were struggling themselves, but they knew about these Christians back in Judea and Jerusalem that were struggling, and they couldn't wait for the opportunity to give of what they had, whatever little it was, to help out these struggling saints, these brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 3, Paul says, I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. They didn't feel forced. They wanted to help out. And they gave according to their ability, and Paul says, even beyond. Verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. It's like they're begging Paul for the opportunity to help out their struggling brethren. Please take it. We want to help. And again, they weren't forced. They wanted to share in this fellowship of helping some suffering saints in Judea. But my question remains, why were these poor brethren in Macedonia so generous? How was it that even though they were in a great trial of affliction and in deep poverty themselves, they begged for the opportunity to give to help out some suffering saints in a faraway land? I want to highlight some reasons why I believe these Macedonians, poor as they were so generous. Number one, the poor Macedonians were generous because they remembered what God had done for them. They remembered what God had done for them. Look at verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 8. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We make known to you the grace of God, Paul says. And then he goes to speaking about how generous they were. And what Paul is saying is evidence of the grace of God among these Christians in Macedonia is their generosity. That's the evidence of the grace of God in their lives. You see, these Christians knew that it was through the giving of God's Son that they had become rich in spiritual things. A little bit later, Paul would say, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." And in that beautiful verse, there's the whole display of the love of God. How Jesus came from glory to live among us, and then to humble himself, even as a servant, humble himself to go to the cross, to take upon himself the sins of the world. And that through his poverty, we might become rich spiritually. And the Macedonians recognized that. And they never forgot what God had done for them. And so that caused them to be generous with their time and talents and their treasures. Psalm 116, verse 12. The psalmist asked, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How can I thank God for everything that he's done for me? Remember, every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning." You see, the way the apostle Paul draws attention to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia is by their giving. 8 times the inspired writers refer to giving as a grace. Mac Layton wrote, "The grace of God, so freely bestowed on us and the beloved, becomes a grace in us, manifesting itself by liberal giving of material possessions, time, and energy in the Master's service." What that means is, if we really understand and appreciate what God has done for us through Christ, like the Macedonians did, then we're going to be generous with our resources. Why else were these poor Christians so generous? Because they were thankful for the help that they had received in spiritual things. You see, a few years earlier, the Apostle Paul had seen a vision. Acts 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Paul was in Troas across the Aegean Sea. And he sees this vision and he understands it to be the Lord telling him to go over to Macedonia to preach the gospel to those people. And so he does that on yet another missionary journey. But you see, the ones who had said, "Help us," are now the ones wanting to help others. They'd been helped in spiritual things, and now they wanted to help others in material things. And that's how Paul describes their generosity again in Romans 15. When he told those Christians at Rome about that he was taking this gift that had been given by those Christians in Macedonia and Achaia for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, he went on to say, it pleased them, that is the Christians in Macedonia, it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. They are debtors to those Christians back in Judea. How so? Because it was those Christians in Judea that had sent Paul and Barnabas and Silas on these missionary journeys. And that's the way these people in Macedonia had heard about Christ, the love of Christ, and what Christ had done for them on the cross. And they believed the gospel and were obedient to it, and they knew the salvation that is found in Christ. They had been partakers of spiritual things, Paul goes on to say, and their duty now is to minister to them in material things. It was a way of saying, "I'm so thankful that you shared the gospel with us. Now that you're suffering, we want to help you even in some material way. As much as we can give. And even beyond our ability." You see, they were so thankful for the help that they received in spiritual things that they wanted to help in a material way. Number three, I believe these poor but generous Macedonians were so generous because they knew what it meant to be poor and in need. Why is it, folks, that those who are struggling, even financially, are some of the very ones who are so generous to others? I think we see in these Christians, they can identify with those Christians back in Judea. They know what it means to be in deep poverty. They know what it means to be in some great trial of affliction. And so they want to help their brethren whom they had not met, but they love nonetheless. They knew what it was like to suffer. So they want to help out their brethren who are in a similar situation. I want to suggest to you also that these Macedonians, as poor as they were so generous because they had their priorities right. Notice what Paul says about them in verse 5. "And not only as we had hoped." You see, Paul was hoping these Christians would help their struggling brethren. "Not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." You see, the real key to the generosity of these poor saints was that they had given themselves to the Lord first. Folks, when we give ourselves to the Lord first, then the natural response is, "Whatever I have, I want you to use, Lord. Whatever I have, I want it to be used to glorify God and to help other people." They first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. You see, the Macedonians were putting the best interest of their brethren ahead of their own. They were very unselfish. They loved their brothers and sisters in Christ whom they had never met. But they knew they were struggling, and so they wanted to help. And when we have the love, that kind of love for the souls of men, we'll find it much easier to give of our resources to help preach the gospel to people that we've never met, probably never will, to minister to the needs of others, of complete strangers, knowing only They need our help. And because of what God has done for us, we want to help them. Because we've first given ourselves to the Lord. In verse 7, Paul says, "But as you abound in everything," and he's speaking to these Christians at Corinth and to us, "as you abound in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." And he's talking about the grace of giving. As you abound in all of these areas, which is so important, abound in your giving as well. It's the grace of giving. And it begins by giving ourselves to the Lord. I read about that once when the gospel of Christ was carried into Africa in a certain location, there was a village of natives that were converted. And immediately they questioned, how can we get the message to those tribes around us? Upriver, in fact. And they were very poor themselves, but they drew a circle in the dirt. And they gave the invitation for any and everyone who had something that they could contribute toward this effort so that they could carry the gospel elsewhere to place it inside the circle in the dirt. Well, there was one young native whose only possession was the clothing he wore. And this very destitution seemed to him to shut him out from the joy of being a giver. And so he was struggling. How can I help? And then suddenly, radiating the joy that only a Christian can know, he raised himself up and he stepped forward and he placed himself in that circle. He would be the earthen vessel to carry the message. He gave everything he had to be used in God's service. Jesus gave himself for us. And he wants us in turn to give ourselves to him. Our time, our talents, even our treasures, the totality of our being, dedicated to his service and to his glory. How can poor Christians be so generous? Because of what God has done for us through Jesus. That's the primary reason. And that kind of generosity is going to characterize those who first give themselves to the Lord. Have you given yourself to the Lord? Have you expressed your appreciation for what God has done through Christ by giving your life to him? That may be your desire this morning. If it is your desire to become a child of God, be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can know that cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, won't you come and let that be known this morning? If you need the prayers of the church, let that be known as well. Please come right now as we stand and sing.